Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and our website is www.jbsba.com. John Fox is our guest. He is an outstanding expert in tax law. He's a professor at Mount Holyoke College. He practices tax law in Washington, D.C. He is the author of one of the most important books I've ever seen on this issue, and I think it is the most important one on this issue. If Americans really understood the income tax, he's also our friend. That's what's really important. John, welcome back.
Well, Jim, thank you, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
Well, it's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I hope it's warmer where you are.
Well, it is. Well, actually, no, it's cold. We're having winter here. The thing, folks, I want you to hopefully you heard the fact that John and I do care a lot about each other. So keep that in mind as we continue our discussion, because we're probably going to sound, as we continue this discussion, like maybe we don't like each other. Because I suspect, John,
Be very careful about this.
This is probably rude of me to do this and very presumptuous.
Uh-huh.
But knowing you as I do, I suspect that you're not too crazy about the president's proposal on a tax proposal that he made last week.
No, I really do. I'm not, and you're right in anticipating that, because I think it really is the wrong medicine for our current economic illness, and it's dreadfully expensive. So I think we're going the wrong way, and I'm very much a believer in what Rudolf Penner, who was the budget chief under Reagan, said just the other night, that this is a Congress already that has absolutely no budget discipline.
Right.
And I see us going into a period of such high deficits, unable to do the things that we want to do. And I don't think this is going to provide the short-term stimulus for the economy that we need.
Well, there are two components in a deficit. One is lack of revenue, and the other is abundance of spending.
There's no question about that, and we're lowering our revenue here by another $674 billion under this proposal.
Assuming he gets it all.
And with interest that you lose on that, because you have to pay additional interest on this debt, it comes to about $950 billion. Let me just run through a few things that really worry me that aren't in our budgets at all, and that make this, I think, a very expensive thing to do. First is the war in Iraq, which we have no budget for. We haven't set aside extra money. I think everybody thinks that...
Does any country... Well, I've heard other people say that, John. Pardon me for interrupting. But does any country ever do that?
Well, I don't know if they do, but
I've never heard of that.
But when we talk about we're months away or a month away or you know, I don't know how many days away...
Maybe hours.
...from going to war... And if we're saying that we can reduce our budget by $674 billion or $950 billion if you add in the interest, I want to know how we're going to pay for these things. How are we going to rebuild Afghanistan? We have a Social Security deficit that eventually is going to hit us that in 35 years, the Social Security Trust Fund is empty.
Right.
Empty.
Well,
Medicare,
in about 10 years or a little more than 10 years, there will be two contributors to every one receiver.
Right. By the year 2050, it'll only be two contributors. By 2038, about 2.5. We have 4-1 now. We need Medicare and Medicaid reform. Medicaid states are getting killed on Medicaid. We don't have enough money to pay it. We need a prescription drug plan that's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. You hear that the CIA is claiming that it doesn't have enough money to do its work. The IRS doesn't have the money to enforce the laws. The SEC can't enforce its laws. States are in crises. The AMT isn't being fixed. So we have this enormous future obligations to undertake in order to do right by this country. So I think that any kind of tax reform that we're going to do now ought to be very focused, very limited, and very effective.
John, let me stop you for a second and get a couple of points in here. All the things that you just said are true. I agree with everything you said. You quoted some very important facts. But you also know that our government has been trying to fix these with very limited, if any, success for a long time. And here's what I believe as a capitalist. I believe that the purest organism that we can possibly try to cultivate and to fertilize and to develop and to nurture is the marketplace, not the government, not social programs, but the marketplace. And if we can, and to me, the proposal that the president has put forth focuses on that. It says, okay, we can't fund, you know, we can't keep throwing money at these bad programs just out of taxes. We've got to generate some opportunity through the marketplace. So let's feed the marketplace first, and if we do, the marketplace will feed us. Now, if that sounds like a subtle way of getting in dynamic scoring, it was, because I believe in the concept of dynamic scoring.
Well, Jim, actually, you and I are not that far apart. What I believe, I have a lot of faith in the marketplace, but the marketplace cannot pay for the war in Iraq. It cannot rebuild Afghanistan. It cannot pay the CIA.
Why not?
Because there is no way that this economy is going to jumpstart in ways that will provide the resources to do this over any short period of time.
Let me tell you one thing the marketplace cannot do, and that is make up for the willy-nilly spending of our Congress.
But Jim, see, if you want to address that, then you have to be honest with the American public. And I don't think that this Congress or this president is being forthright about what the government plans to spend. See, I think the government plans to spend a lot of money on Iraq. I think it plans to try to fix Social Security, and to do that, it's going to have to raise more money, because the trust fund is going to be empty in 35 years. I think to deal with prescription drugs, the government is saying it's going to spend more money. To fix the AMT, it's going to lose a lot of money. So what I think is that you need right now a short-term stimulus that will encourage consumption and would encourage business spending and investment. So,
all right, you're the president's advisor on this. What would you tell him to do?
Well, I would focus on getting money to those people who are likely to spend it. And that means that I would give some relief from Social Security, such as an income tax
John, what's that going to do to the Social Security calamity that you just described?
No, I would give an income tax credit, not a Social Security tax. So I would reduce income tax. See, we pay a double tax on our Social Security taxes.
Right.
And I would give relief to consumers, people at the lower, middle, moderate level income people, not the people who are big investors.
But many of these are people who don't pay taxes, though. You'd give them money back?
No, I'm giving money to people who pay taxes.
Okay, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and get right back into this with John Fox right after these messages. John is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. We're back. It's 23 after. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. John Fox is our guest. He's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, Uncovering Our Most Expensive Ignorance. Folks, if you want to understand how all of this works in plain English, this is the book, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, by our good friend John Fox. And by the way, there's a foreword by Mortimer Kaplan, who is a former commissioner of the IRS. Check it out. It's still available wherever books are sold. John, is the website still up?
Yes, it is. JohnOfox.com.
JohnOfox.com. And so go ahead and check that out, folks. We all need to become more educated about this. And, John, I just want to thank you you're single-handedly really getting us an education in this, because your opinions are more than just technical. They're philosophical. They're visionary. And we need this kind of input. But here's a question for you, John. Now, you don't like the fact that President Bush is going to take $674 million away from the government.
$674 billion.
I'm sorry, billion. You're right. Yeah, I have to. You know, a billion here, a billion there. Before long, it's a lot of money. Anyway, you don't like that. But how about this proposal? What if I said to you, what's bad about taking $674 billion away from these congressmen and senators who want to spend it on things that they shouldn't be spending on? What's wrong with that? Isn't that going to force them to be a little more disciplined?
Well, I would like them to be much more disciplined. I'm entirely with you, Jim. I think this is a Congress, which really, as Rudolf Benner said, the Reagan's budget chief, it has no fiscal discipline. But you have to then say to the Congress, well, what is it that you're going to spend it on? An increasing amount of this of the expenditures will be on defense, on Social Security, on Afghanistan, on the war in Iraq, on beefing up our enforcement, on Medicare and Medicaid. And so very relatively little, only 3.4% of the GDP is now spent on what's called the domestic discretionary budget. So that's shrinking. And so you need to say to me, in a real budget sense, well, if you shrink the amount of money coming to the federal government, then you have to shrink Social Security. You can't engage in rebuilding Afghanistan. How are you going to pay for the war in Iraq?
John, you're an incredible visionary, and I want you to think about something. Let's for the moment, let's not think about the U.S. budget. Let's think about the global situation. Do you believe that we accrued a peace dividend when the Soviet Union fell? That the world, every citizen and future citizen of the world, accrued a peace dividend with the end of the Soviet Union?
I think undoubtedly.
Okay. Now, if you believe that, and that peace dividend was real, and I don't mean that in a metaphorical sense. I mean real dollars, real benefit to people all around the world when that happened, liberties and opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities all over the world. Now, if that's the case, would you not agree that in, say, 10 years after we've dismantled Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and after the world has taken on, you know, we found a way to neutralize Iran, we found a way to neutralize North Korea, that there could be a peace dividend 8-10 years from now?
Well, if you could guarantee me all those results.
Well, now wait a minute.
But let me just say that I think that these are enormous imponderable. In other words, for us to be able to
My question. Don't you think it's quite possible with the history of what happened with Soviet Union? Don't you think it's quite possible that we could be sitting here 10 years from now saying, you know what, there's a peace dividend that we got there?
I think it is equally likely that the world is going to be in total chaos. I mean, I think that the problems in the Middle East are extremely dangerous to the world.
Yep.
And I think the growing Islamic sense in the Islamic world, which
the intolerance.
And the hatred of the United States, the sense that the United States... In its unilateralism, in its attack.
So should we stay out of there?
I think we have to do it more wisely. I think some of what the president has done is very effective. But just in the proposition that we are selling enormous amounts of arms. We are the greatest seller of arms to countries abroad. Much of what you see over there that endangers us has actually come either directly or indirectly through our assistance. So I think it's a very dangerous world out there. But let me just come back to the economy, Jim.
Okay.
It seems to me that in this tax reduction, the smallest piece is to stimulate small business. I think that's outrageous.
Well, I wish that there had been more in there, more direct in there for the true small businesses, because $75,000 deduction for expenses is good, but most small businesses don't need that kind of deduction.
They don't need it. It is $16 billion roughly out of this package of $674 billion.
You know what, John? It'll never be much of it will never be used because most of us don't write off $75,000 a year.
I agree. I would like to give small businesses credits for hiring more people.
I understand.
I want to get more jobs, and I want to get more people having the ability to consume. What is done in this tax relief measure, 55%, is to eliminate the double tax on dividends.
Yeah. You don't like that idea.
Well, most, because it's like going to the doctor and he's giving you the medicine that will help you 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Right now what we need is to stimulate consumption and to make sure that that's effective so this economy does not fall back in recession.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the brink, I think, of working our way through it. I think that we're looking at 3 to 3.5% growth, and which is not bad, but we need something more. We need it with small businesses. We need it with workers getting funds so that they can go out and consume and not the wealthiest investors. I mean,
John, when I'm president, you're going to be my economic advisor.
Okay, well, I'm all for your running, Jim. Why? This is what we need, Jim.
Hey, John, good job today.
Well, it's a pleasure being with you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, if Americans really understood the income tax, that's his book. It's available wherever books are sold. Go to johnofox.com to check out his website. Quick break, right back, 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.